Well, it doesn't say this in the bulletin, but I decided to talk this morning about loving thy neighbor. When Kevin was given one of his sermons a while back, and this is probably 3 or 4 months ago, he said if you could summarize the Bible with one word, it would be love. And, you know, I thought about that when I was getting ready to do my sermon here this morning. That popped into my mind, and I realized what a truth that is. And it really kind of fits with what I wanted to say this morning. So, I've been reading in the book of Matthew to some degree, so most of my scripture this morning is going to come from the book of Matthew. And it's a book I'm sure we'll be studying at Bible study one of these days, although I know our next topic is the book of John. But I wanted to read this morning from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 39. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." This morning I want to talk about the second part of that, which is loving your neighbor. Now, all of you know this can really test us, because sometimes neighbors are not easy to love. And I'm gonna consider neighbors to be everybody that we ever come in contact with. Not just the people that live next door or around the corner, but everybody that we meet in life. And this is something that we wrestle with every day, because people are just not really easy to get along with at times. And we find sometimes they disagree with us in many different ways. When I started thinking about this, I was reminded of a little story that goes back to my childhood. I was probably 7 or 8 years old at the time. And I grew up in Verona, which is up the river, up the Allegheny River, about 12 miles from the point. And we lived right next door to the athletic field in Verona, right across the street from the athletic field. And back in those days, there wasn't any television to occupy kids, and there wasn't any video games, and there wasn't anything like that. So the ball field was where everybody went all day, every day, in the summertime. And there was baseball games going on in every corner of the field, and there was swings and slides. There were plenty of children there. And, excuse me, we seem to be getting a little feedback. Where's our engineer? Oh, he's back there working.
Yeah, working.
Am I too close to the mic, maybe?
You're fine.
All right, well, we'll let him work on that while I keep the story going here. So, anyway, the one thing about these baseball games that were going along is that there was plenty of profanity. If you've ever experienced kids playing ball, and you realize that there was just a constant din of profanity, and it kind of hung over the field like a blue cloud there, and it never seemed to go away. And my mother was horrified. She was so concerned that us children, myself, my brother, and my sister, would pick this up and start using these kind of words. So what could she do? She couldn't go over there and confront hundreds of kids, all of which seemed to have terribly profane mouths. So what she did do was the next best thing she could think of. She told us every day not to say those words. And you know, I think it worked. it worked for me. I don't think any of you have ever heard me use a foul word, because I got it from the time I was 6 years old until I was a teenager. I got a lecture every day about it. So her method was brainwashing with persistence. And it illustrated sometimes how these kind of problems can be overcome. We've all had problems with neighbors. I had a neighbor once that came home about 3 o'clock in the morning every couple of days, dead drunk, and his wife would meet him at the front door and she'd proceed to scream at him out in the driveway for what seemed like hours, waking up the whole neighborhood every night. It was pretty frustrating. And how do you deal with these kind of problems? Really tough. And yet, we're commanded to love thy neighbor. One of the great commandments. And you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, they're all based on these two that we talked about a few minutes ago. The commandment to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbors as yourself. Sometimes neighbors have barking dogs that annoy us and irritate us. Sometimes neighbors have different lifestyles that we don't understand or even know how to talk to them about. Lifestyles that we might not agree with. And yet, we're asked to love them. And it's been said once that you can love your neighbor even though you hate the sin that you might see that neighbor doing. But it's hard to reconcile. Our natural instinct as humans is to do something that would mitigate the damage that we believe that they're doing to us. But that's not always a successful way to deal with it, because what happens if we retaliate against our neighbors, then they retaliate back, and pretty soon we have a neighborhood feud going on. I think probably we've all experienced or know of these kind of things happening in our lives, and it's a difficult situation to deal with. Sometimes we meet people in our lives, maybe in our work lives or anywhere in our contacts, that don't agree with us, and they don't want to do anything we'd like them to do, and they oppose us in every way possible. And it's so difficult to love that person when they seem diametrically opposed to everything you believe in or everything you want to do. And so these are some of the difficult things we get into with. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I have all the answers, even though Kyle suggested maybe I did when he didn't want to give the sermon. He suggested my age and experience was way better. So, anyway, studying the book of Matthew, I came across several passages that kind of fit in with what we're saying here this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, Christ is saying, be a lamp, show light. And let me read that for you. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and set it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are within the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And how does this fit in? Well, what it means to me is that you have to set an example. You have to be the light. Your character, your abilities have to shine so that your neighbors see you for what you are and are thus led into a life where change can happen for them. So this is one way of dealing with it. Now, I thought about my poor mother dealing with thousands of swearing children and realized that wasn't going to be enough. But anyway, it might help on a one-to-one situation. So I think letting your character shine through and looking for opportunities to witness the truths in the Bible are two things that we can do in some of these difficult situations that happen when we meet people that we have difficulties with. Earlier I talked about retaliation, the fallacy of retaliation. When you try to retaliate against someone that does something harmful to you, the fallacy of retaliation is that it doesn't work, number one, and number two, it makes matters worse. But worst of all, it creates a situation that we really don't want at all. It can result in a lifelong feud. I know people that haven't spoken to each other for years because of some little thing that happened years ago. How silly this is and how hurtful it is, and yet it happens every day. Matthew talks about this in witnessing what Christ said. And this is from Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you and from him who wants to borrow from you. Do not turn away. This is an interesting verse because it's totally opposite of what our natural instincts seem to tell us to do. And that's why we study the Bible, so that we can learn the proper way to handle difficult situations. This reminds me of what physicians learn as they study to be doctors, and the thing that occurs during the course of their investigating diseases. The mantra is, first of all, do no harm. And I think that this applies to us as well in our everyday dealings. We want to be sure that whatever we do, we don't cause harm to come to others. Now, I know accidents happen and harm comes from those, but I'm talking about willful harm, where you deliberately harm your neighbor in retaliation for something they have done to you or you believe they have done to you. So first of all, do no harm. What a great, easy way to think about the situations that we run into every day. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Christ talks about loving your enemy. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect in heaven. And it seemed like when Jesus was giving this sermon, he had to reach down and find the most evil person he could, and it turned out to be the tax collector. But anyway, aside from that, if you love your enemy, then you will work hard to do good. Now, we all have special talents that God has given us. Some of us are great musicians. Some of us are medical doctors who perform miracles in saving lives and easing pain. Some of us are engineers that build things that are helpful and useful to people. But everything we do in life is done to benefit others. Think about it. Even if you're paid in a career, you're being paid to do a job, but the real reward is in helping others, to help others to improve their lives, to make their lives better. So using these talents that God gave you is a way to deal with people that are disagreeable. Show them your talent. Show them what you have done. Not in a proud way, but in a way that they can see through you the light of our Father in heaven. All of these careers that we have, we're all out there working and doing things to help others. If we're harming others, we are not in compliance with the commandment to love our neighbor. So everything we do should be designed to help others. And the other thing that I think we all think about when we talk about how to deal with others is the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Treat others as you would be treated. In other words, treat everyone you meet with dignity and respect. And if you do that, they will see your character. And finally this morning, excuse me, Myrna is trying hard to give me her cold that she's been working on it for over a week now. And I think she's finally succeeding. Finally this morning, I'm going to depart from the book of Matthew for a minute and go directly to Paul's eloquent description of love as contained in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. And this is one we've all heard many times, and it's one that fascinates me, and I wanted to mention that because there's a special passage in there, a special verse that really appeals to me. And I'm going to read that one first, because then I want to talk a little bit about it. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And I think what Paul's saying here is that when we lack wisdom, we don't see things clearly. Retaliation might seem attractive to us, as we spoke earlier. It might be natural instinct that creates a desire to hurt someone that's hurt us. But as we think about this, and what Paul's trying to say is that when we lack knowledge, we take the wrong course. We see now through a glass darkly. We cannot see the truth behind it. And we examine this, and we see that as we become older and perhaps wiser, hopefully wiser, we see things in a much different light. And I think that's what Paul was talking about when he said this. We see now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I'm going to read the whole chapter because I think it's a beautiful chapter. I love the way that Paul writes. His eloquence is just amazing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know that even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And isn't that so true? So let's go out today, try to remember some of the things we've talked about, and see if we can put them into practice. Let us pray. Lord, let the words I have spoken this morning bring impact into people's lives. Let these words come from you, not from me, just my lips may say them. Let us do all these things. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.